page Kuf Pei Aleph on the by Le'olam. We're really in the middle of Nun Samach. It's Halacha Kuf Tzadi Vav. The very bottom of the page of the Halacha is Kuf Tzadi Vav. We're in the middle of the paragraph Le'olam. It's on page Kuf Pei Aleph. Now some of the things over here I tried to appear, but I'm still confused about the letters. He has over here some type of drasha about the letters Nun and Samach. The fact that the two letters are next to each other in the Aleph base is that all the letters are next to each other. We had yesterday Chof Lamed Mem Nun and then is Samach. So being that all the letters are next to each other, he's making some type of drasha that the significance of their being next to each other adds a new dimension into the word. We have a word called nes. Nes means two things. It means nos, to run, and also means a miracle. It also means to lift up. Okay, to lift up. Nes means to lift up high. We use it... What?
With the sin.
No, right. So sometimes the sin and the samach are interchangeable. Okay, the argument is correct. Sometimes. And the way we use it more often is nes means a miracle. Something as lamala miderech ateva. But nos, if you vowelize it as with a komatz, now with a tsere, nos, it means to run. To run. So yesterday we learned, he says an idea, which I don't understand what it means, but he's saying that the fact that we have two letters next to each other in the Aleph Beis that have a translation of meaning. Nun Samach is a word. Nos and Nes. It's a word. And the fact that the two letters are next to each other adds significance that this word, look at that, in the letters of the Aleph, I have to go study, how many letters are there in the Aleph Beis? Someone must have figured this out.
Well, the word big da is four letters in a row.
Big da.
Beis
da. Beis. Beget. Beis gimel dalis beget.
But big da is also
her garment. So it's very interesting. You go study the letters of the Aleph Beis and study the Hebrew, the authentic Hebrew language, Lashon Kodesh, and try to figure out how many words are there in Tanakh that appear in the Aleph Beis in the consecutive letters, both going forwards and going backwards. Kolem. What is Kolem? Chof Lamid Mem, to destroy, obliterate. This was the word that Bilam tried to use as a curse to Klal Yisrael. He was waiting for the moment that Kadosh Baruch gets angry, and it was going to have Kavanah when he said the word Kolem, to destroy Klal Yisrael. The word Kolem backwards is Melech. In fact, on Shabbos, someone told me about this Shabbos. Why is it so that the word Melech in the Torah and the Aleph Bay is the blueprint of creation, it's backwards? This week's parasha says that the Melech may not have too much money. Levilti rum livavo. The goal of a Melech is to be humble. He has to have a Sefer Torah, he should be humble, and thus that is why the word Melech is spelled backwards in the letters of the Aleph Bay. Backwards means go down. Go from being great backwards, humble yourself in the opposite direction. Go look to the Aleph. If you're in a state of greatness, don't look to be greater. Look to be humble. And if you go in the wrong direction, kolem, it's destruction. Person who's only trying to become greater, 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 and in the wrong way, of course, not in a good way, that can lead to kolem, skaiva, to go higher. But to go look in the opposite direction, of that's a melech. Man malke rabbanon. A person who really knows the true values of what malchus is, it's levilti rum levavai. It's not to go up, it's to be humble, to go down. Thus, the letters of melech are the letters of the Aleph Beis that are consecutive letters going backwards. And the same idea, this idea over here, I can't grasp the full depth of what he's trying to say, but the fact is that there are two letters in the Aleph Beis which are next to each other, Nun and Samach. The fact, thank you very much, the fact that they're next to each other in the Aleph Beis, Nun and Samach, next to each other, is significant. And that significance allows us, in this world of Drush, that I have no understanding of, is basically to repeat the word twice, which means Nos or Nos Nes. Basically, there are two words. Nos means to flee. Anes means a miracle. Yesterday, at the very end of the halach, we had this interpretation that the person who runs away from the Yetzer Hara, Oisin Loi Nisin, Hashem does for him miracles. Nos, if you flee the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, Nes, Hashem will do for you things that are Lemalo Miderech HaTeva. That was yesterday's drasha. But that was yesterday. Today, we have a very different drasha. Okay, let's just go back to yesterday, the last three lines in Kuf Tzadi, the last three lines before we get to the worldly Olam. Okay, I took you everything else on. It's Halacha Kuf Tzadi Vav. Kuf Tzadi Vav. Neis Semuchim Remez Im Boireach Oda Mincho Aveira. If a person is Nos, then Oisin Loineis, they do for him miracles. This is, you have to remember, the Sefer Chassidim is not a Chassidish of a very board of gematrias from the 21st century. Whatever he writes over here, obviously, is sacred. This is 800 years ago. He's not playing games with us. It's not the back of Torah times and giving us some riddles. This is the real deal. How exactly these things work, I don't know. But that's what it says. So we take it seriously. Then he goes on and he says now another drasha. La'olam yonus adam min hanisim. A new drasha. A person should be nos from nisim. Don't live a life looking and expecting and hoping for miracles. Because if miracles happen, if you succeed, Hashem, you know, be careful of what you pray for. Hashem may actually give you what you want. And if the person merits miracles, he's writing here a very frightening concept, which we don't really pay attention to because we don't see miracles too often in life, but there's a lot to learn. It's menake mischuyosav le'olam haba. A person does a mitzvah, he has a life savings account. The life savings account is meant to be used in the olam ha'emes. If a person draws from that life savings account in this world, there's not much left in the next world. And then you're eating up your life savings. It's not going to be good. So therefore, nos nes. Hashem put the nun and the samach in the aleph beis next to each other to allow us to repeat it twice. That's anything that that's the rules. Anything that any word you can find in the aleph beis, the letters next to each other, it's as if Hashem is giving you a license to darshan those letters by repeating the word twice and figure out the deeper meaning. He gave us one meaning yesterday. That a person should, if he's nos from the Yetzer Hara, he will be zoche to nisim. And now he's telling us something which appears to be the opposite. That a person should be nos from nisim. Don't look to live in this world on miracles, because the miracles, menake, takes away from your merit in the Olam HaEmes. And he proves it from Avraham Avinu with a Yerushalmi, which I didn't look up, so we'll just read the concept. The Olam Yonas Adam and Anisim Shalo Yima'atu Loi, it should not be the cause of diminishing from him his reward, Mishuyos of the next world. The Omar, how do you know? This is proving it now. The Omar Avram Sukhorcha Harbe Mioi. This is Rashi. Rashi really says the same. This is much easier for us to understand that Avraham Avinu after he was saved from the Ur HaKivshan, Ur Kastim, Avraham was thrown into a furnace as punishment for not wanting to bow down to Nimrod and declaring Nimrod to be a god. So Nimrod took Avraham Avinu and threw him into the Kivshan HaEsh. Al derech ha-teva, he should have been incinerated on the spot. A miracle happened. Nothing happened to Avraham Avinu. And because of that, his brother, Haran, if nothing happened to him, nothing is going to happen to me. And he also went into the furnace, but he was incinerated on the spot. So Avraham Avinu lived, talk about psychological damage, he lived with guilt your whole life, he lived with this guilt, it's clear as day. Avraham Avinu had lived with what is it called, survivor's guilt, people in the Holocaust. Why did I survive? Why did he not survive? My brother did not, they threw him into a furnace, al kiddush Hashem, in the name of Hashem's name, he didn't survive. I survived. Why me and not him? And it ate him up. How do you know it ate him up to no end? How do you know that this weight, this guilt, this Holocaust survivor guilt, it's a real Holocaust survivor. Haran was incinerated. Crematoria. He was incinerated. And Avram miraculously survived. Why me, not him? He couldn't live with himself. How do you know he couldn't live with himself? Because he went out on a suicide mission to save his brother's son, Lot. What in the world is he doing? Vayishma ki nishba ochif. Lot has been captured. Okay, so what do you want from me? I'm going to go save him. What do you think I am? Superman. I can't save him. What am I supposed to do? He went out on a suicide mission. Vayorek eschanichov. He took 318 men. It's nothing. Going fighting a world war. 318 men, or you took one person, Eliezer, the Gematria, 318, to go get Lot? Ridiculous. Why? What put that in his mind to go on a suicide mission? Because of the guilt. This is my brother's child. Why should he live? Why should he die and not me? Therefore, let me at least go save his child. It translated over to Lot. He was Moiser Nefesh his entire life. He took him with him. Hashem separated. The Shekhinah went away from Avraham Avinu because he was living with an Oisvarf. So get rid of the Oisvarf and the Shekhinah will come back to you. You don't want to be Nene Miziv HaShekhinah. Who wouldn't want to be Nene? We don't even know what the Ziv HaShekhinah means. But the assumption is it's so intoxicating, the Hana of the Ziv HaShekhinah, that you would do anything for the Ziv HaShekhinah. And yet, Avraham Avinu has an opportunity to have been netted from the Ziv HaShekhinah. The only problem is a Sheretz, is Oichez B'Sheretz B'Yadai. Who's the Sheretz B'Yadai? Lot. So get rid of him. I can't. I can't let go. I can't let go because of the guilt. Why did my brother die? And why did I survive? I have to go and take care of my brother's child no matter what. At any expense. I'm going to give up all of my ruchnius because that's what the right thing to do is. The right thing is to do is Lot, I have to take care of him. I have to because he's my brother's child. And it paid off, Rabbi Yisai, because that's where Mashiach came from. Okay, the survivor's guilt, the Holocaust survivor's guilt is what brought Mashiach. Okay? It's a messias, it's a fact. The Holocaust survivor's guilt is when a person acknowledges that Hashem put me here for a purpose and I have a duty. It's not just I'm here for a purpose. My purpose also is to perpetuate the memory of those that were not as fortunate, who did not survive, exactly Lot. What came from that? Melech HaMashiach. From Lot comes David. Okay, the whole thing, the Lot survived because Avram was mispal for him. The whole story is all that Lot. What do you have with Lot? You have nothing in common with Lot. Just get rid of him. Cut your losses already. What do you need this burden upon you? No. Who did the same thing to a degree? Moshe Rabbeinu with the Erev Rav. Okay, there's also a complicated relationship with people who are nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu, for some strange reason, cannot let go. Those are really goyim, I mean, supposedly. Supposedly, who is exactly the Erev Rav, whatever they are. But you see, Avraham Avinu, this is what he did. He did with Lot. So now, let's go back to the story. The beginning, we got a little sidetracked. The beginning of the story is Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kibshon Eish and he miraculously survived. In addition to the guilt of why me, not my brother, it also bothered him, I've consumed in this world all of my merit. I've consumed in the next world all of my merit. My entire savings account has been depleted because of the miracle that I experienced of not being burnt in the Kivshan Ho'esh. And that is why Hashem has to reassure this, the deeper meaning of where Hashem says to Avram, Altira Avram Sechorcha Harbe Me'od. Your reward is very great. What? What is the context of Hashem out of the blue just saying to Avram, don't be afraid, Avram, your reward is very great. What's the context? Why did Hashem have a need to say those words to Avram? What was on his mind that Hashem had to comfort him? And the answer is, Chazal said this, and the Sefer Hasidim says it over here as well, but this is already Chazal said, we know this already, he's drawing from the Chazal, is what was bothering Avram Avinu to no end is the miracle of surviving in the Kivshan Ha'ish. And it ate up, it drove him in every dimension of his life. You have to go learn Chumash all over again, from beginning to end, the entire story of Avram Avinu, and look at every single thing that ever happened to him with this in mind.
He married his daughter.
So why he felt a duty to marry his daughter? Maybe it's a mitzvah. Chazal say that Sarah was the daughter of Haran, so it was his niece. It was his niece. And Chazal said there's a mitzvah to marry a niece. Why? So we live in a world, I mean, I just spoke to someone about this this Sunday, a shatran, told him all these things. We live in a world, marriage is all about what did I get? What did I get? Is the girl pretty? Is the girl rich? Is the girl smart? Does she have a good job? Every time a person goes to the shul, what am I getting? The goal is not what are you getting, what are you giving? Marriage is not about getting, it's about giving. Okay, this is what every Baal Musa writes. Easy to say, hard to do, right? What are you giving? Marry, Chazal say a person should marry, there's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Why? What? It's a mitzvah to marry. You don't do this today anymore. Today's unheard of today. No one will do it today. It's unheard of. There's a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah to marry your niece. Why? Because charity starts at home. If you look at marriage as what am I getting? So why is there a mitzvah to marry your niece? What are you getting? I already know. What am I getting out of marrying my niece? It doesn't make any bit of sense. But when you look at marriage as what are you giving? Well, when you get married, if you're giving, you're going to make another person happy. Listen, I have to tell you though, as a milsa b'vichusa, someone told me, or Mayor, I'm not going to tell you, told me this, or Mayor, that a woman wants to find the act of marriage as the moment in time when a man dedicates his life to make a woman miserable.
I heard a guy tell me this. I said, "Why?" Heard a girl tell me this. Why did you marry a Jewish girl? I want to make you miserable.
That's what a wedding is. A man is dedicating his life to making a particular woman miserable. Okay, but that's a joke. The truth is, marriage is just the opposite. The moment in time when you dedicate to make a person happy. So who is zoiche to be the recipient of your goodwill? Charity starts at home. Why should you go dedicate yourself to make a woman that you have nothing to do with, go other end of the world, some shadow went to a shift, what do I know from them? My brother has a daughter. Let me make her happy. Charity starts at home. This halacha only doesn't make one bit of sense if the view of marriage is, what did you get? What did you get? What kind of girl did you get? If that, then there's like one bit of sense. If marriage means what are you giving, then the halacha makes perfectly logical sense. There's a mitzvah, charity starts at home. You're going to make someone happy, make your brother happy. Make your brother's daughter happy. That's normal. Maybe sorcha al tesalam. Don't go hide yourself from your own bus of Adam. So now, Avram, if you go and you have this in mind, that everything about, go study. So you're saying, very good, why did Avram marry Sarai? Because my brother, he gave up his life. He lost his life because of me. I went to the final thing, Avram. So I have a duty to make his daughter happy. I have a duty to make Lot, take care of Lot. When you read Chumash, from the very beginning of Avram Avinu's life all the way until he dies, and every single event is going to be studied against the backdrop of the guilt, the Holocaust survivor guilt. Everything in Chumash has an entirely new meaning. Everything. Now, going back to that idea, Avraham Avinu, what? You don't have to. I mean, it's not the only way. There's only one of there are a million dimensions. Ayin Panim with her. What?
We don't know. Avraham when he got married.
We don't know. It doesn't say.
Maybe he was dating every girl out there.
Maybe. He's the only one. He's the only one where the Torah doesn't tell us anything about his marriage. Nothing. Yitzchak, we know play by play. Yitzchak and Rivka, we know play by play. Yaakov and Leah, we know play by play. Avram and Sarah, nothing. Who had the best marriage, by the way?
None of
them. Who had the best marriage? So look, we want to say this on a Friday. We do very quickly. Let me say, who had the best marriage? So what will you say? The Av will say Yaakov and Rachel. The only one that it says Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. Only time you find romance.
No,
it says afterwards. Afterwards, not during the dating process.
No, there was no dating process.
Wait, let me explain my piece. Wait here. Yaakov, he laid his eyes on Rachel. He gave one look at her. He kissed her. And it says he loved her. He wasn't married to her yet. Took 7 years. Vayiyu be'enof. Rabbi, so wait. Let me say my piece. Vayiyu be'enof kiyomim achodim be'ahavoso oisa. You cannot get more romance than Yaakov and Rachel. Impossible. He kissed her. It says that he loved her. He worked for her for 7 years. Who works with someone for 7 years? And it says that it was in his eyes, kiyom achodim. This is the spitz of the spitz. Wait, hold on a second. And yet, guess what? He's not even buried next to her. Okay, they're not even buried together. All right, but Yitzchak and Rivka, it doesn't say one word. All it says is Vayikach Yitzchak es Rivka Vayivieho El Eloi, and then the marriage counselor said to him, "Listen. It's not so good. Don't worry. Eventually, it grows on you." He first began to love her after he was married to her. Doesn't say any love at the beginning. Adarab, it says that they were horrified. She saw him. She fell down when she saw him. She fainted when she saw him. Okay? So it says, Vayikach Yitzchak es Rivka, and then later, Vayehoveha. Every shatran has this chazal in their arsenal. And right now, the love comes later. Not now. Oh, what about Rivka? Or what about Yaakov and Rachel? What are you talking about? Who are you reading fairy tales? And we didn't get so far in Cheder to know about Yaakov and Rachel. Don't start with the shatran by telling them Yaakov. What about Avraham and Sarah? Nothing. But let me ask you, who had the best marriage? Or who had the worst marriage? I can't say those words, they're nice words. But one thing is very strange. Yitzchak and Rivka, they were fighting with each other. They didn't see eye to eye. Right? They didn't talk to each other. Yaakov, the brachas, they didn't see eye to eye.
When?
What?
When did they not see eye to eye?
When it came to the brachas, the children. In regard to the children.
How many years they married at that point?
At that point, they married?
When?
The brachas. Yitzchak and Rivka. When Yitzchak gave the brachas to Rivka,
Yaakov was 63 in the brachas, so you're talking already a long 84. Time.
84.
Yeah, 100 years. 63 in the brachas. Yitzchak got married at 40, had them sing at 60, 84. So 63 years.
And now they're fighting. Now let me prove to you. Let me prove to you, Rabbi Sai. Please. Let me prove to you that they had the best marriage, even though it says nothing about their marriage. The best marriage was Avraham and Sarah. Prove it to you beyond a shadow of a doubt. And not that Chas v'Shalom there was any chesed, but When the Torah says something about one marriage and doesn't say it about another, even though there's no question in our minds it was true for all the marriages, but yet, if the Torah emphasizes an idea by one and not by the other, that says something, no? I think it's fair to say that that expresses an intensity. It says that when Sarah died, Avraham cried. It doesn't say anywhere that when Rivka died, Yitzchak cried. He certainly did. Well, who died first? It doesn't say it. Not that it didn't happen. Not that it wasn't there. The feeling wasn't there. It doesn't say anywhere that when Rachel died, Yaakov cried. It doesn't say it. There's no mention at all. He buried her. She died on the road. He buried her. He explained to Yosef, don't blame me. The only one that it says, and Torah didn't have to say this, Vayavoy Avraham lispoid lisara viliv koisa. You only cry about something that's painful. Okay, the fact that Torah says that he cried for Sarah is a clear indication that the marriage was very deep. The relationship was very, very deep. The fact that he cried, is this not a fact? And it doesn't say this, not that it's not true, and not that it's certainly, but you cannot ignore that if the Torah emphasizes a certain fact by one of the others and does not say it by the other, this gives us a little bit of guidance to appreciate a certain midah that had a different degree of intensity by one, not by the other. So even the Torah doesn't talk about the romance of Avram and Sarah, there's absolutely no mention, yet, look at that. There's nothing more romantic than that. Vayavoy Avraham lispoid lisarah v'liv koisa. Yaakov Avinu, vayehav Yaakov l'Rachel. He kissed her. Vayu b'yainav yamachon v'havasa oisa. And then when he got her, and he was married to her, and she dies, he buried her on the road. And doesn't say anything.
He was too busy with the other wife.
Okay. The other three wives. All right, listen, you're ayin panim l'Torah, ayin panim l'Torah, but I believe there is something very important to take note of, that just because you don't see all the bells and whistles, all the glamour in the whole story of Avram and Sarah, it doesn't mean anything, because look what it says. It gives him the greatest and the most romantic thing you can really say in truth is what it says by Avraham and Sarah.
Hey, psychologically, by the way, they tell you that people who had a very good marriage tend to get married again, because marriage was a very good experience. People who don't get married after they lose a spouse, because marriage, they're happy to finally be free.
Has an effect on them. Oh, you see what he's saying? You see, he's saying another very powerful idea. Okay, so these are very little tidbits.
How do you know?
It's psychological profile.
All right, Rabbi Yisai, let's go weiter. Rabbi Yisai, please, let me finish up. Okay, so over here, I have to stop there. I want to finish up over here. This is a very important yisai we learned today. Number one is this idea that a person has miracles. It's minakel loy mizichu yisai. Now, there's another idea from the Bali Musra, and that is, when a person is in the matzav of hester panim, some people, they're able to see hashkocha, everything they do in their life, they see hashkocha, wow, look at that, they connect the dots. What an amazing hashkocha, look at that happened, and they're blown away. And there are many people, unfortunately, that are not blown away, they don't see it. And they live in a world, a very dark, dark world. And the truth is, the people who are living in a very dark world, based upon this chazal, they are earning incredible schar, putting away in their savings account, enormous schar. When you talk about a nes doesn't just mean the sun stops in the middle of the day. It doesn't just mean that you're floating in the air. A nes means Hashem is doing things. The hashkocha, even in this, we don't have nisim in our day and age, but you're able to see hashkocha pratis in with clarity. That's a nes nistar. That's also a degree of a nes. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls the strings for you and he arranges things for you, person has to question himself, I was zoiche to see incredible hashkach. It didn't have to be like that. I didn't have to go be able to put all the pieces together. Hashem obviously knows I need chizuk. I need chizuk. So Hashem did me a very big toiva. He arranged everything. I should be in the right place in the right time and do this and do that. And everything should fall into place and I should even see it. Not only should it happen, which of course is going to happen, I should even be zoiche to see it happen. Now, it's a beautiful thing, and we yearn, desperately yearn for this, because we all need the chizuk, and halavai. But if a person does not merit that, to witness that, shouldn't be upset. Because the only thing that means is, sechor chahar bei ma'ot. When a person is nene from miracles in this world, it takes away from his life savings in the next world. And that does not just mean, oh, I was in a plane and I was about to crash and it was a miracle that someone just came and everything started working and everything happened, everything worked out fine. It means even to witness a nes nistar. That also takes away from a person's schar in the next world to a degree, not chas shalom as much, and it might be worth it. It might be necessary. If Hashem so sees that it be done, it has to be worth it. But the chizik at least is that when a person is living in the dark, every person has tkufas when they're just living in pitch black darkness, you know something? Take advantage. Because living in pitch black darkness and continuing to live your life as normal and having emunah, the schar is infinite. It's something which Avraham Avinu yearned for. Avraham Avinu was very disturbed. I'm done. I have nothing to look forward to in the next world. I got my reward in this world. And Hashem had to say to him, don't worry, Avraham, there's plenty left over for you. Schorcha har beimo. But you can learn from this that if a person does not have see those miracles, wow, you are having what Avraham Avinu yearned to have. The ability to live in a world of Hester Panim, being Eva Neman, it's the greatest thing. You're not taken away from your schar in the next world. There's schar in this world, harbe limos hamashiach. There's very, very much, and me'oy loyelam schorcha harbe kama me'oyd period. We're breaking up this expression into two parts. Sechorcha harbe in this world. But me'oid, that's in the next world. In this world, indeed. Now, he seems to be putting on this chazal, a negative twist. Where Hashem is saying to Avraham Avinu, you're right. You are correct. You're going to lose out. Maybe I'm saying this, of course, I hope not. But that's what he seems to be saying here. Is Avraham Avinu, you know, you had a miracle. That's right. The miracle has consumed a portion of your reward in the next world. You're right. Hashem is not denying that his fears are justified. But still, don't worry. There is so much more left in the next world. It's a little bit different than when they teach you in Cheder. In Cheder, they're not going to say that to you. They're going to say to you that it's not going to take away from the next world one iota. He doesn't seem to say that here. He seems to be saying over here, you read the Mefarshim on the Sar in the big edition, you don't trust me, that's why you have the big edition over there. What it says on the side. He seems to be saying is that that's right, Avram. You're going to be losing out in the next world. That's a very shocking thing. But don't worry. There is infinite more that you're still getting.
That's what the Lamude Nisa pop song, when he says after he saves love, he uses the phrase Bayak Shavel Lo Tzedakah. He's saying, I'll take it as long as this doesn't deplete my bank account. If this is just purely tzedakah,
that's the question. He doesn't.
I don't want any miracles.
He doesn't seem to learn like that. He doesn't seem, the Mefarshim on the Sardi do not seem to look like that.
Right,
the
Mudini Sardi. Yeah.
Secharcha harbe limos hamashiach. Okay, not even in limos hamashiach. Me'oid lo'olam habra. Hapri miyad. You're going to get a little bit peros immediately. You will get. But the akeren, the principle, chayemes to omer avshin bar yochai. I don't know who this chazal is. Ilu, I don't know, let me look it up. Ilu hoy Avram lokech bebereish that about Elov, I don't know what it means, we'll leave it with that. Okay, so this is very powerful. Limu, we learn of it in many yesoidos. Number one, to appreciate that everything in the Torah, Avram Avinu's life, has to be viewed against the backdrop of surviving the Kivshan Ho'esh. And that is why Hashem said, Tim Sukhar Chachar Yoid, a principle that a person depletes his reward. Don't look for miracles. Don't expect miracles. And if there are miracles, it's taking away. Now this goes against the whole Sima Shas. It's scheduled to be on January 1st. The average time on January 1st is what? Anyone know? You told me once. Yeah. Hurwitz. What's the average?
The highest 45.
And the low? 28. So we're yearning for miracles. Yearning for miracles. What kind of, and let's say there is a miracle, it depletes our reward for learning Shas. What kind of approach is this? It doesn't make one bit of sense to me. Maybe you could understand this, but I surely can't. All right, we'll take a short break.
So Avram told, I told you that if you show your Fatima his heart, what does it mean? It means that before that, they had a good relation to look at her and to recognize she's nice, this, that. That was the original Shalom from Bayit. I told you that he showed you from Bayit. Maybe he's comparing with the black Egyptian Shachorim.
What color was Hagar?
Huh?
What color skin did Hagar have?
White.